الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يتلون كتاب الله وأقاموا الصلاة وأنفقوا مما رزقناهم سرا وعلانية يرجون تجارة لن تبور ليوفيهم أجورهم ويزيدهم من فضله إنه غفور شكور. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى through his kindness granted all of us the opportunity to be individuals of the Ummah of his most beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is a very unique personality. He is the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of the messengers, the leader of the prophets. In the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no one more virtuous than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Khuda se to kam aur sab se aala. Below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above everyone else. خدا سے تو کم اور سب سے اعلی. دو عالم سے بالا ہمارے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. Below Allah, above everyone else. Above عیسیٰ علیہ السلام, above موسیٰ علیہ السلام, above داود علیہ السلام, above ابراہیم علیہ السلام, above Jibreel alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, above all the Anbiya alayhi salam, above all the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Below Allah, above everyone else. Do alam se bala. Do alam se bala. He is the most virtuous. He is the most virtuous among the creations of this world and the creations of the hereafter. And as a result of this greatness of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as a result of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the most virtuous, as a result of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the most beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon him great favors, which he had not bestowed upon Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam before him. And from amongst these great favors, one favor is the revelation of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an-e-Majeed. Qur'an-e-Majeed, Qur'an-e-Majeed, a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in a hadith, Al-Qur'anu ahabbu ilallahi min as-samawati wal-ard. Qur'an is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. The seven heavens and whatever they contain, the earth, whatever it contains, the Qur'an, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the seven heavens, whatever they contain, and the earth and whatever it contains. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in another hadith, Inna baha'a ummati wa sharafaha al-Qur'an. The element of honor and the element of pride for my ummah is the Qur'an. A great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who associate themselves to this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who attach themselves to this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they also become very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is His kalam. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the greatest of His creations, so He revealed it upon Him. And those people who attach themselves to the Quran by, number one, reciting the Quran, number two, understanding the Quran, and number three, practicing the Quran. So those people who attach themselves to the glorious Quran by reciting it, by understanding it, and by practicing it, they too become very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Zida Majduhum recited in his introductory words from the glorious Quran this verse, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tell your ummah that they should rejoice. They should rejoice upon two things, Fadlullah and Rahmatullah. They should rejoice upon the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should rejoice upon the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Maulana Ibrahim Sahib said that the majority of the commentators of the Quran have said that Fadlullah means the Quran and Rahmatullah means Islam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is being instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell the ummah that they should rejoice. They should feel happy regarding two things. One is the Quran and the other is Islam. Quran is ilm and Islam is amal. Quran is ilm and Islam is amal. Iman is to believe. Iman is to believe and Islam is to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His oneness, in His tawheed, in His existence. Islam is to believe in the risalat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nubuwat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is to believe in the malaika, iman is to believe in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is to believe in the risalat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iman is to believe in the malaika, in all the books revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all the messengers and anbiya sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the last day, in the resurrection after death, in taqdeer. Iman is to believe. Iman is to recognize the truth, and after recognizing the truth, to believe it, to believe in it wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt. This is iman. Once a person accepts iman, then comes the stage of Islam. So we have believed wholeheartedly in Allah and whatever He has revealed. So now we have accepted iman, we have become mu'mineen, we have become believers. Now comes the stage of Islam. Islam means to submit. Submit your will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that you have believed in the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now submit all your desires to the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are a believer in Allah now. So if your desire says, I want to sleep at the time of Fajr, but Allah says, no, you should wake up and perform Salat. So you should submit your desire to the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Islam. So a Muslim is he who submits his desire to the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is to fulfill all the requirements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to belief. And Islam is to fulfill all the requirements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to amal, deeds and actions. So there are five branches of deen: aqaid, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat and husne akhlaq. Aqaid is iman, and ibadat, muamalat, muasharat and husne akhlaq is Islam. So fadlullah means Quran and rahmatullah means Islam. So Islam is to practice. Islam is to practice. Once a person believes, then after believing, he has to practice and submit his desire to the submit of the Creator. How will we know what is the desire of the Creator? How will we know what is the will of the Creator? For that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this book. Alif Lam Mim, Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi Hudan Lil Muttaqeen. This book, there is no doubt in its authenticity. There is no doubt that it is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a guidance, it is a guidebook. It is through this book that you will know what Allah likes and what Allah does not like. So Fadlullah is Quran. So through Quran, we will acquire the knowledge. We will know what Allah wants us to do. We will know what Allah does not like us to do. And Islam is to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts. So if a person is able to acquire the ilm of the Quran and thereafter practice the same, he becomes so precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his Nabi that tell your ummah, this is what you should rejoice upon. This tawfiq of understanding the knowledge and thereafter being able to practice that knowledge. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْجَفْرَهُ And why should you feel so happy? هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ Because it is better than everything that people are able to accumulate. All the people put together whatever they are able to accumulate. Property, gold, silver, pounds, dollars, shares, pearls, diamonds. All the people put together whatever they are able to accumulate. This, the tawfiq to understand the Quran and the tawfiq to practice the Quran, this is better. Much better than whatever they have accumulated. Why? Because whatever they have accumulated, there is no guarantee for it. It may remain with them today, tomorrow. It may remain with them for a week. It may remain with them for a month, for a year, for a few years. It may remain with them until they breathe their last. But a time will come when they will have to leave all these commodities behind. But as far as the Quran is concerned, the ilm of the Quran and the amal that a person carries out, they will benefit a person in this very world. They will benefit a person at the time of death. They will benefit a person in the grave. They will benefit a person on the day of Qiyamah, at the time of reckoning. They will benefit a person when he will have to cross the Sirat. They will benefit a person and save him, her, from the fire of Jahannam. And they will benefit a person and push him into Jannah, grant him entry into Jannah. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ Because we have become materialistic. Our vision is only as far as the qabr. Nothing beyond qabr. Whenever we take any decision in life, we only look up to the qabr. What is my loss in this world and what is my benefit or profit in this world? If I do this, how will it profit me in this world? How will it bring loss upon me in this world only? That's as far as we go. If I give my daughter to this boy who is proposing to marry her, how will I or my daughter or my family benefit as far as this world is concerned? What are the harms and benefits of this world in marrying my daughter to this boy? We don't go beyond. We don't go beyond. If this boy becomes my son-in-law, how will he benefit my daughter as far as the grave is concerned? How will he benefit my daughter as far as the day of Qiyamah is concerned? How will he benefit my daughter as far as Pul Sirat, Jannat, Jahannam is concerned? And he will be the father of my grandchildren. What is the future of my grandchildren as far as the akhirat is concerned. Any decision we take in this world, we don't go beyond the grave, only up to the grave. It is for this reason we cannot value the status of these boys who will be completing their Quran today. It is for this reason we cannot value the status of the teachers who are teaching them the Quran. It is for this reason even the so-called religious people do not value the gatherings of the durus of the Quran in the masajid. When the Darse Quran is taking place, how many people participate in the Darse Quran? 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, 50 people, the most. How many people? The Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being recited and it is being explained. And by ulama who understand the Quran, by ulama who have dedicated their lives. And some masajid are very, very fortunate to have ulama who are of a high caliber as far as the academics are concerned. And they are imparting durus of the Quran. Your masjid is one of them, which is very fortunate to have good ulama. Ulama who are seen by the other ulama as ulama of high caliber, who are respected by other ulama of high caliber. But how many people benefit from them? And for how long does the Darse Quran remain? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maximum 45 minutes, once a week. How many people participate? It is a tragedy of the Ummah, my friends. It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. I urge all of you to make a firm resolution that inshallah from the next Darse Quran, we will participate. We will take part, we will participate, we will try to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala says in his tafsir that Quran is the best of the books. It is the kalam of Allah. Tawrat, Zabur, Injil, it can be called the book of Allah but not kalam of Allah. Quran is not only the book of Allah, it is the kalam of Allah. And when did the Quran come into existence? When it was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. Quran has always been there like Allah. And Quran will always remain like Allah. It is an attribute of Allah. It has always been there, it will always remain. Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that Quran is the greatest book revealed in the greatest month, revealed in the greatest night, revealed through the greatest angel, and revealed upon the greatest and the best human, and revealed in the best of places. Quran is the best of books, revealed during the best of the months, Ramadan al-Mubarak. Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran, revealed in the best of the nights, inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, revealed through the best of the angels, nazala bihi ruhul amin ala qalbika, revealed upon the best of the hearts, the heart of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and revealed in the best part of the world, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. Such a great book. And we pay no attention to it. No attention. majority of us cannot even recite the Quran daily. My message to all my brothers and all my sisters today is, let us go with this firm resolution from here today that as far as the Quran is concerned, I will from today revere the Quran, respect the Quran, honor the Quran more than I did before, and I will do three things as far as the Quran is concerned. One is I will regularly recite the Quran. Second is I will try my utmost to understand the message of the Quran by sitting in the company of authentic, reliable ulama. And number three, whatever I understand, I will try my utmost to practice. If we will do this, my friends, then we will have Fadlullah and we will also have Rahmatullah. We will have the knowledge of the Quran in our lives, we will also have the amal of the Quran in our lives. And once we have these two things, then we have the most precious item. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Now we deserve to be happy and proud. Alhamdulillah, I have got something now. Gold, silver, mansion. No, now I have got something. Ilm and amal of the Quran. Huwa khayrum mimma yajma'un. It is much, much, much more better than whatever all the people can accumulate or what they have accumulated or what they are accumulating. Those people who read the Quran, who understand the Quran and who practice the Quran. And part of practicing the Quran is to propagate the Quran. It is the command of Allah that whatever you know you should pass it on to others. So part of practicing the Quran is also propagating the Quran. So those people who read the Quran, understand the Quran and practice the Quran, they are Ahlul Quran. They are the people of the Quran. And Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah. The people of the Quran are the Ahlullah. Ahlullah. Ahlullah is a terminology which is used to define the awliya, the saints, the pious personalities of the ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ahlul Quran hum Ahlullah. Ahlul Quran are the Ahlullah. Those people who associate themselves with the Quran through recitation, through understanding, through practicing, they are the Ahlullah. They are the people of Allah. Not only the people of Allah, whom Ahlullahi wa khassatuhu. They are the people of Allah. No, they are the special people of Allah. Special people of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after His people, His special people, His special servants in this very world by granting them the unique ni'mat of tranquility of the heart and peace of mind. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants such people contentment of the heart, peace of mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants such people a departure from this world with husn-e khatima. And for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the grave a garden from the gardens of paradise. And for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make arrangements under His throne on the day of Qiyamah. And for such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make arrangement of an easy reckoning at the time of reckoning. And such people will cross the sirat with the speed of lightning. And such people will be granted entry into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them their reward in full. Innal ladhina yatluna kitab Allah. Indeed, those people who do tilawat of the kitab of Allah. Indeed, those people who recite the Quran. Indeed, those people who recite the Quran. Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, rahimahullah ta'ala says, those people who recite the Quran with amal. So those people who recite the Quran and who also practice the Quran. And practicing upon the instructions of the Quran is not possible without understanding the Quran. So inna alladhina yatluna kitaballah means indeed those people who recite the Quran and who understand the Quran through authentic sources by sitting in the company of pious, reliable ulama who have a chain of their knowledge leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who practice the Quran. And part of practicing the Quran is wa aqamu salata wa anfaqu mimma razaqnahum sirran wa alaniyah. Those people who read the Quran, understand the Quran and practice the Quran, and part of that is wa aqamu salah, who establish salah, wa anfaqu mimma razaqnahum, and those people who spend from that which we have given to them, sirran wa alaniyatan, they spend from whatever we have given to them secretly and openly. They spend secretly and openly. What will Allah grant them? Yarjuna tijaratan. They can hope for a trade with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will trade with them. Tilawat and understanding. Tilawat is an amal. Understanding is also an amal. Tilawat is an amal, understanding is amal. And once you have understood the Quran, then whatever you practice, that is also amal. So our amal has been likened with goods that a businessman sells. Allahu Akbar. Look how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We are the businessmen and Allah is the purchaser. It's not the other way around. We are the businessmen. We are selling tilawat to Allah. We are selling our amal of understanding the Quran to Allah. And we are selling whatever we practice to Allah. Salat, zakat, hajj, fasting, tasbih, tahmid. We are the sellers and He is the buyer. He is the purchaser. We are the businessmen. Inna Allah ashtara minal mu'mineen. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bought from the mu'mineen. Here also He is the purchaser. And the mu'mineen are the sellers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those people who recite the Quran, understand the Quran and practice the Quran, they can hope for a trade which will never go in loss. They can hope for a trade, for a business that will never go in loss. Why? Because the purchaser is Allah. Purchaser is Allah. And when Allah is the purchaser who controls the treasures of the both worlds, so He will not argue with you. He will not say, decrease your price. He will not argue with you. He will not say that your goods are not perfect, they are reject. So I was going to give you 10 reward for each letter, but reject without tajweed, I cannot accept. He has the treasures of, He will not try to make a saving. He will not try to make a saving. He will try to profit you as much as possible. يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورْ. It is for this reason Allah says at the end of the two verses, إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah has two qualities. One is He forgives. So He will overlook the shortcomings of your goods, of your amal. And Shakur, whatever good He will find in your goods, He will appreciate it very much. Innahu ghafoor. Whatever shortcomings He will see in your amal, He will forgive. Salat He has performed. My servant has tried his utmost. He tried his utmost to learn salat. He tried to perform salat according to sunnah, and he tried to perform his salat with khushu, khuzu. He is also engaged in the reformation of his soul. He is trying to make tazkiyah of his heart so khushu can come in his life. He is trying, but shortcoming. There is no khushu in his salat. Ghafoor. When our goods will go to Allah, the first thing is he will ghafoor. He will overlook the faults of our amal. And shakur. Shakur means he will appreciate more than he should appreciate. So if a person goes with goods, which is only 10% good and 90% faulty, he will not give a reward for 10% only. He will give reward for more than 100%. Innahu ghafoorun shakur. So those people who read the Quran, who understand the Quran, who practice the Quran, yarjuna, they are hoping for a business, they are hoping for a trade, they are hoping for a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will never make a loss. Lan tabur. The ulama and those who understand the Arabic language understand the emphasis. Lan tabur. They will never make a loss. Why? Because they are selling their goods to a buyer who is ghafoor and who is shakur. Because he is ghafoor and he is shakur, he will forgive and he will show appreciation for whatever you have put forward in his court. And what will he do? لَيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. So the result will be result of this business, result of this trade, result of this deal with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them their reward, their return in full. Allah will give them their return, their reward in full. Allah will not take out mistakes and say, no, I was going to give you 10 rewards for every letter, but because it is faulty, I will give you only 2 rewards per letter. No. His price is, the price that he has set in his business, in his trade is, the deal is, that if you bring one item to me, I will give you reward as if you have brought 10 items. That is the minimum. And for some, I will multiply it by 11. For some, I will multiply it by 20. For some, I will multiply it by 50. For some, I will multiply it by 100, 200, 300. إِلَى سَبْعِ مِيَةِ ذِعْفٍ. For some, he will bring one item and I will pay him for 700. And for others, إِلَى أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. Only I know how much I will give in return. I may pay for 800, 900, depending on his sacrifice, on his effort, on his striving, depending on the khulus and the level of ikhlas that he has. لَيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ. Abu Sayyid Khudri رضي الله تعالى عنه was sitting in a gathering wherein Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه was narrating a hadith in which he mentioned that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم mentioned in detail how the last believer will go in Jannah. Last believer. Some believers with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with justice. Some believers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with fadl, grace. He will show grace. So even if their left hand side scale will outweigh the right hand side scale, the pan of scale, the left hand side pan of the scale will outweigh the right hand side pan of the scale, Allah will show grace and he will grant entry into Jannah. And for some, he will deal with justice and he will say that because your left hand side pan of the scale is more heavier, so evil deeds are more than your good deeds, you will have to go in the fire of Jahannam for a month, for a year, for 2 years, according to the level of sins. So hundreds of people will go in the fire of Jahannam from the mu'minin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from amongst those people who will go in Jannah without any reckoning.
And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to reckon us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us from amongst those people whom He will deal with fadl and not adl. Fadl. I always encourage my friends that when praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of need, there is a dispute between two people. And I know that I am right. I know I haven't done anything wrong. It's my brother who has done wrong. So what do we say in dua? Oh Allah, grant me justice. Oh Allah, grant me justice. I always say, never ask Allah for justice. Always ask Allah for His grace. Because it is possible that we have made certain big mistakes in our lives, and if we ask for justice, Allah may punish us for those sins here in this case. Always ask Allah for grace. So those people who will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam as a result of their sins, but because of their iman, a time will come when they will be granted entry into Jannah. So the greatest sinner from the Ummah will be the last one to come out of Jannah, of Jahannam. This last person who will be granted salvation from the fire of Jahannam and entry into Jannah after many years, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah, he will see his big Jannah, very big Jannah, large Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that whatever you see, that is for you, and I will order the angels to double it for you. So I am giving you double of what you are seeing. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu is sitting in that gathering and he is listening to the long hadith being narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is quiet, he is not taking out any mistakes, because everything is according to what Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu had heard. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had heard this hadith first, and Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu heard this hadith later from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu ta'ala said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that I have also heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that when this last person will be granted entry into Jannah, and when he will see his Jannah and he will become very happy, Allah will say, go, I am giving you this Jannah, and not double, multiplying everything that you see by 10. Not double of whatever you are seeing, 10 times more than what you are seeing. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says, but I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say double. So Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu said, no, but I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say 10 times what you see. The muhaddithin and the commentators of hadith said that in the initial stages, that was the reward. That was the reward. That the last person to go in Jannah will be given double Jannah. Double of what he deserves. But thereafter, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded that, no, my servant will come into Jannah after a very long time and I need to be even more kind to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, I will grant him 10 times more than what he deserves. لَيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ Allah will grant them their reward in full. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase from His fadl. Allah will not grant them only what they deserve. Allah will grant them more than what they deserve. Full, in full. Allah will overlook the faults. And not only that, Allah will grant them even more. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ The commentators of the Quran commenting on this part of the verse say that one tafsir of وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ that Allah will grant them their reward in full without decreasing anything, and Allah will grant them more, extra, from through His fadl. One tafsir is that when this person will reach Jannah, any Jannati who carries out these amal, tilawat, understanding the Quran and practicing the Quran, when he will reach Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that your son, your daughter,
your children, your wife, your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, they were not on the straight path. They were away from tilawat, they were away from understanding the Quran, and they were away from practicing the Quran. So they are all going in the fire of Jahannam. And as a result of tilawat, as a result of understanding, as a result of practicing, you are going in Jannah. But how will you enjoy in Jannah without your wife, without your children, without your sons, without your daughters, without your brothers, without your sisters, without your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents? So Allah will say that return to me again. Don't go in Jannah yet. And take all of them with you in Jannah. لِيُوَفِيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ Allah will grant them their reward in full. And وَيَزِي And through His fadl, through His grace, Allah will grant them extra. Why? Why will He do that? إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ Because He is Ghafoor and He is Shakur. So friends, the message of today's gathering is that we need to appreciate this great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is being neglected. It is being neglected. In this day and age, you find so many people, maybe in many masajid, majority of the people who do not complete the recitation of the Quran from Alhamd till one Nas, even in the month of Ramadan. If not majority, you will find so many people. So my request to all my brothers, all my sisters who have gathered here today in this auspicious gathering is, let us leave from here, let us take something from here. Only listening to the lectures, listening to the bayans and returning is not sufficient. Let us take something with us. The first thing we need to do is, inshallah, we will attach ourselves to the Quran by reciting the Quran daily. Try to read Yasin Sharif daily in the morning. Yasin Sharif daily in the morning. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who reads Surah Yasin in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all his needs of the day. It is our need. Let us read Surah Yasin in the morning. Number two, before going to sleep, let us read Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. If we are unable to in the initial stages, let us begin with Suratul Mulk. And inshallah, thereafter we will also incorporate Suratul Alif Lam Mim Sajda. And on Friday, let us read Suratul Kahf. We are going through an era of tests and trials, of fitna. In order to safeguard ourselves, in order to safeguard our iman, it is essential that we read Suratul Kahf. And because Suratul Kahf is long, if you find it difficult, then begin by reciting one ruku every Friday. And once you get the hang of one ruku, increase it to two ruku. And once you get the hang of two ruku, increase it to three ruku. But make a target that by the end of this year, by the end of 12 months, inshallah, I will be reciting Suratul Kahf, full Suratul Kahf every Friday. And other than that, daily recitation of the Quran. Beginning from Alhamdu till Wannas. Beginning from Alhamdu till Wannas. Our mashayikh and our ulama, they recommend that the non-huffaz recite one juz daily. And the huffaz read three juz daily, majority of which should be in Salat. Now, those students who graduate from Makatib or Madaris as Huffaz, when they graduate, they can read five Jews in one go. They are able to read three Jews in one go, five Jews in one go. Some can read 15 Jews in one go. Some can read the whole Quran in one Jews because of the revision, because of the efforts of the teachers. After they leave, they don't recite. So within 1 year, 2 years, they have forgotten. And even four rakat of Tarawih becomes difficult. If after graduating, they were to follow this advice of the mashayikh, and they were to continue reciting three juz daily, majority of it in Salat, four rakat sunnah before Zohar, two rakat sunnah after Zohar, two rakat nafal after Zohar, whilst going to the college, whilst coming back from the college, they would never forget the Quran. And three juz would be very easy. But if the huffaz are not able to recite three juz per day because it is not as strong in memory as it was before, then begin with 1.5 juice twice, or 1 juice thrice, or 1/2 juice 6 times, or 1/4 juice 12 times. And before you know, you will know your Quran again. Early in the morning, wake up, learn 1/4 juice, and recite that same 1/4 juice 11 times throughout the 24 hours. And before you know, you will know your Quran again. And the nun who fast, they should read at least one juice per day. Those of you who are already reciting 1 juice, continue with 1 juice with the aim of increasing it to 1.25, 1.5. And those of you who are not reciting 1 juice, begin with 1 juice. If 1 juice is difficult, 3/4. If 3/4 is difficult, begin with half. Half is difficult, begin with 1/4. If 1/4 is difficult, begin with 1 ruku. 1 ruku with the aim of reaching 1 juice per day. But 1 ruku on a daily basis. Daily basis. Number 1. Number 2, find masajid where Darsi Quran is taking place. And at least once a week, participate in the Darsi Quran of an alim. Allah has revealed this Quran with a message. Let us try to understand that message. If a letter comes to us from our wife, or from our brother, from our sister, in a language which we do not understand, do we just put it aside? No, we will go to somebody who will be able to explain to us what our brother is saying, what our sheikh is saying, what our friend is saying. This is a letter from the Quran. Letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we sit in the gatherings of the Durus-e Quran. And those masajid where Durus-e Quran and Durus-e Hadith is not taking place, then the people there should make mashwara with the local imam and try to initiate a program. Every masjid should have Darsi Quran, Darsi Hadith. And number 3, whatever we learn from these durus, we need to practice and propagate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the 2 students who will be completing the glorious Quran today. May Allah keep the words of the Quran in their hearts until they breathe their last. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them also the knowledge of the Quran. And may Allah adorn their lives with the amal of the Quran. And may Allah make them the beacon of light for the whole ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.